Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Although, is it? We were today going to be continuing our look at the BTK killer, but full disclosure, listeners, I messaged Dad this morning and said, hey, listen, something happened to me last night that I need to talk about, and we're going to be talking about it instead of our regular podcast, which is just as well because apparently they are still working on Dad's building, and it's quite noisy, isn't it?
Paul, also for the listeners, dear listeners, by the time you hear this podcast, it will have been Tegan's birthday. So I messaged Tegan this morning and said happy birthday. She said she was in the studio.
Yep.
And then she sent a cryptic message to Christine about something that had happened to you. And we've been doing this podcast for 5 years. And I know on those rare occasions I've mentioned something to you that I didn't forewarn you about, you know, something personal.
Yeah.
You got a bit upset. So am I going to get upset?
Look, it's a thing that I was going to call you yesterday about and get your advice on, actually, you and Mum, because of the fact that you have a background in law enforcement. On the podcast before, things have happened, like Tegan and I have witnessed a fire at the warehouse across the place and we thought it was arson, or we've seen, you know, XYZ things happen. And I'll usually run them by you, but those things don't normally involve us personally. And I'm so curious as to what you think about this whole thing, and also what the listeners think, because frankly, when this happened, my first thought was, I have a true crime podcast with my ex-cop dad and, you know, millions of listeners around the world, and I'm sure everyone would want to get their hands on this guy, and that's pretty cryptic. So,
So to move the BTK killer
off
to one side for a week,
just briefly,
It's good. I like it. It means that we're flexible.
He'll keep.
He'll wait. He'll sit there like a stale steaming crumpet.
Okay.
In the sun.
Strange image.
I mean, so all right. So for the listeners that don't know, of which there'd be no one, you and Tegan live in Melbourne, and Melbourne is a very different city to Sydney. It's got a, I guess, for entertainment. I mean, you've had, it's been a big weekend in Melbourne. You've had the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Which is massive.
Yeah. A lot of the city is packed, basically.
Packed.
Especially our area. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, I read on the ABC News that the price of airfares to Melbourne is almost bordering on extortion.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same when there's something like a massive rugby final or whatever, and we want to come to Sydney. It just, the price gets quadrupled. It's
now,
nuts.
Paul, was this thing, and I have no idea what we're about to talk about.
Okay,
I love a mystery.
Okay,
but did it have anything to do with your wonderful, gradual, and might I say, unusual process of giving Tegan a like a countdown to her birthday? Did it have anything to do with that?
Kind of. So it's, first of all, it's Tegan's birthday today, or rather it will have been yesterday by the time you hear this podcast, unless I pop it up today, which I might. So yeah, Tegan's birthday. And I thought, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend Saturday and Sunday building up to her Monday birthday. and just sort of lightly spoiling her each day. Presents and taking her out places and planning things. And it was going really well, Dad. And Tegan and I have been watching and reviewing a lot of films at the French Film Festival, which is all over Australia right now. Honestly, actually, as a sidebar, it's on until, I think, the 2nd of April, and we've seen about 7 films at the festival. I talked about it on Game for Anything. I've interviewed people involved in these films. French cinema is deeply fucking underrated, and the festival is absolutely incredible. And we were seeing the second part of the two-part Three Musketeers film, which is, I think, one of the most expensive French films ever made. Honestly, it is basically a swashbuckling John Wick. It is incredible. And we were booked in to see a 3:20 session of the second film in the series called M'lady. So it's, Dad, these movies are amazing. 3:20 session at Palace Cinema at Como, which is kind of down near where they shoot the project. It's on the corner of Turak Road and Chapel Street in South Yarra. Yeah.
Hmm.
Have you been there? It's got kind of a denny vibe.
Is it? And it's quite a would it be fair to say it's a fairly good area so far as
it's a bit it's a pretty moneyed area. Hmm. South Yarra is right next is quite near Turak, so there's a lot of wealthy patrons, a lot of older patrons. The French Film Festival does tend to attract all kinds of interesting people, but typically the kinds of people that you would expect to see at a French Film Festival, i.e. slightly stuffy little people who are like me, you know, little art house film fans, foreign film people, and generally an older demographic. Mm. But this festival, specifically at Como, which is a lovely little cinema, it's got a real dandy vibe, but every single session we've been to, there have been people talking, and I mean talking quite loudly. During the second film we saw, which is one of the opening night films, behind us in a packed cinema, 10 minutes into the film, 4 women came in, extraordinarily wealthy women, probably in their 30s, 40s, with their phone lights on, talking at full volume during the film. And then they sat down and people were shushing them and they just kept talking.
That's rude.
Dad, flashlights on. But there was a point where everybody was turning around going, shut the fuck up, turn your fucking... It was kind of a good communal moment. But every single session, there have been people talking. And what's bizarre, Dad, is it's generally been older, wealthier people, which is very confusing because typically they're the kinds of people who get their noses out of joint about young people misbehaving and being rude and whatnot. It's been the older people. And I hate having to shush people, but I will shush people. If people are talking in a film where we've paid and everybody's getting annoyed, I'll be the person who goes shh and shushes the person. Or sometimes I'll lean over and go, excuse me, could you please stop talking? Most of the time, it's somebody else who does it. Someone kind of takes that. Mm. You know, what are your opinions on talking in cinemas?
Well, I went to a cinema in Sydney called the Hayden...
Orpheum. Yeah, great cinema.
And I went to see a French film mm-hmm. a few years ago. And there was, in front of me, a couple, I think it was a mother and daughter. The daughter would have been in her 50s. Mm. The mother was in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in another language.
But when was this, by the way?
A couple of years ago. It's almost bringing back PTSD. It was so upsetting because what happened was the mother spoke a third language. So not English, not the language of the film.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't understand what was being said. Get ready for this. The daughter for the entire film translated what was happening in the movie to the mother's mother tongue.
Right.
Right in front of me, talking normally.
At full volume.
But having said that, it's a very stressful place, a cinema. It's like on a plane when someone does something that's just quite frankly scary. The reaction is visceral. Christine and I were having breakfast yesterday morning in King's Cross, and there were two guys that came through, and there were 1,000 people in this alleyway having breakfast at probably 15 restaurants. The second these two guys came in, they were literally screaming. The atmosphere, the first thing that happens is people sort of turn away. They sort of just, they can't look at them because if you eyeball people like that, you don't know what they're capable of. And it just completely ruins. But what happens to me is that I go into this sort of sort of police mode where I start to imagine all the different scenarios and mm-hmm. what I'm going to do if A, B, C, D, and A happens. And it's upsetting.
What does that do to Mum when she goes out with you and there's people kind of kicking off or being loud? Does she start going, oh, fucking, here we go. He's going to be all wound up and he's going to like, what?
Sometimes she has this technique. Mm. We have discussed it. I think we've discussed it on air. Do you know how you can calm a chicken down, Paul? Have we had this discussion? Sometimes no. Christine rubs my sternum and it calms me down. Okay. Or if we're at a dinner party, which yeah. sounds so bizarre because I can't remember the last time. But if I'm with Christine and I say anything and she gets that very strong sense that I'm about to tip over into La La Land, mm-hmm. she has these techniques. One of them is to stroke my arm, but she does it very, very furtively so no one else can see.
Okay, okay, yeah.
And she's got these signals, these codes.
Mm.
And I think a lot of couples have codes or where, because they're not going to embarrass you by saying, for God's sake, John, please don't make a scene. Although Christine on occasions has not had the opportunity where I've just bolted. And in that same street last year were these backpackers that were out of control and literally destroying items that belonged to various shop owners. The shop owners were very timid and didn't want to get involved. And I absolutely lost it and just ran up. And then when I came back to Christine, I actually got a small applause from various people. So people hate arseholes. And in a cinema, it's almost like, I guess, a place of worship.
Well, where it's a place where people pay literal money to sit quietly and enjoy a thing.
It's an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Christine and I, a few weeks ago, went to a cinema in the city. I'm not mad. I mean, it was gold class cinema. And it sounds really fancy, but the thing that really ruins it for me is having staff continually walking in front, serving drinks and food to people. And then in Bangkok, they've just come up with a new cinema which has got beds.
Okay.
I think we're...
Yeah.
I mean, what happens if you've got people next to you shagging?
I think, all right.
You know, it's going to...
I think we're getting away from... You haven't really asked me what happened yet.
No, but I get a sense that... Did you lose it? Did you? Or did someone... Just talk us through it slowly, Paul.
Yeah. So, 3:20 p.m. session. Blockbuster movie. Absolutely incredible. But again, it's a French film at a French film festival on a Sunday afternoon at a sleepy little art house cinema, right? And we're sitting in... I'm going to give our seat numbers, by the way. On the off chance anybody knows these motherfuckers. Oh, I sound angry, don't I? That's weird. Anger doesn't really sit well in me. I don't know what to do with it. I don't get angry. I don't really get angry. I just get upset because I think it's because of the bullying. I think it's because I was bullied so much that I don't really have a way of... It feels poisonous and unnatural and I don't know how to... Tegan's worried that no matter how good I get at karate or how big I get, because I'm getting quite big, she said, it doesn't matter how big you get. It doesn't matter if you're 3 feet taller than people. If anybody comes at you, you will acquiesce because you are a gentle person. You're just
That's
not
good, Paul.
Well, okay, let me finish the story and you might have other opinions. So, it's a two-hour film. We're sitting in seats E8 and E9. E10 and E11 are the ones adjoining the aisle. Yeah? So we're 5 rows back. There's probably about 40 or 50 people in a cinema that seats about 120 people. So there's scatterings of people and we're seated next to these two people who are seated in the aisle and we're right next to them. Tegan's sitting next to them. I'm sitting one over. They are talking the entire film. I mean, during every single gap, they're just having conversations. Tegan doesn't say anything because she knows that she doesn't like... Basically, every time we go to the cinemas and people start talking, it ruins the film for her. Not because of the people, although that does cause problems. It's because she knows I'm getting upset and it's ruining the film for me and I can't focus. Because I have ADHD and I literally cannot focus on the film. It ruins the film. I get wound up, I get upset, and I will shush people. And she knows I'm getting worked up. And actually, unbeknownst to her, I was staying pretty calm. Like I literally went, I don't want to cause Tegan stress. Anyway, so she's bothered by this. We get towards the end, and I won't spoil anything, but there is a brief gap in the action after one of the main characters in this film has died. And it is a tragic, poignant moment. And we are 3 minutes shy of the credits. And it's mainly the guy talking to his wife. And I go, shh, quite loudly in the silence. Unbeknownst to me, from that point on until the credits, which again is about 3 minutes, the guy is talking about things he's going to do to me to his wife. And she's trying to calm him down, but he's not listening. And Tegan later on told me this. The credits roll. He stands up. She's trying to push him away. He pushes past his wife, leans over Tegan, and says, you're lucky I didn't bash your fucking skull in. And he leans in and pulls his arm back to hit me. I'm shaking at this point. I mean, I'm shaking now. He literally... And then he pulls away, and then he pushes over Tegan again and threatens me again, and then leaves. I've gone white at this point. So he's leaned in over Tegan, over my wife's kind of... He's gotten right in my face, and he was going to beat the shit out of me in a cinema. Mm. He leaves. I'm in shock. I don't know how to process this. Yeah. Tegan's trying to keep it calm. I'm talking things through. We eventually leave, and I'm keeping an eye out. I left the cinema before her to make sure that nothing was going on, but at this point, I was just in shock. We talk to a manager, and we basically say the people in these seats threatened Paul with assault. The manager says she's going to try and, if they have left their details on file, I'll get them banned from the cinema. I was considering filing charges. We didn't sleep. We were so wound up on adrenaline and so upset by this because this guy was looking for a fight. But again, context-wise, talks for a whole film, gets shushed, and then wants to beat the shit out of me. And gets, like, inches from my face.
Disgusting.
He was throbbing. He was so angry. He was about... I'm going to describe him. He was about... probably about 5'10". Bald. Lean. Quite a large nose. He was wearing black t-shirt and black pants. His wife was with him. Again, this was the 3:20 p.m. session of this film. I don't know how smart it is or safe it is saying what cinema it was, what time it was, what film it was.
It's all good.
But I really... Like, this guy was... He wanted to... assault me for shushing him, for talking the entire film. Now, I didn't say shut the fuck up. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, I shushed him. And the fact that this incredibly weird alpha energy of a guy who thinks, how dare you shush me, and doesn't have the fucking manners to not talk in a film.
Yeah,
I know
upsetting.
There's going to be some listeners going, you don't fucking shush people. And that's like, well, fuck you, you're wrong. I'm actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't think those listeners exist. I think everybody is sitting here going, yeah, don't ruin people's experiences. But the fact is also, if you get shushed and your first response is, I'm going to fucking go that person and beat the shit out of them, then you're the problem, right?
Bad.
It's, Dad, I was scared shitless. I'm not built for this kind of conflict. And my first thought was, I want to find out who he is, and I was really upset. But the main prevailing thought, which I didn't convey to Tegan at the time, was that he was leaning over her, and she was sitting there going, I need to put my leg out, I need to stop him from getting to Paul. And if she'd done that, he would have attacked her. He would have done something. And this is so I want to get your genuine thoughts on this as somebody who was related to me and probably worried about me, as somebody who was worried about Tegan, as a ex-police officer, and as somebody who frankly arcs up a little bit when people behave badly. I want all your thoughts and insights and maybe even advice.
Firstly, if you believe that you are going to be assaulted, then it's very simple in law, and that is that he assaulted you. Okay? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. It's like the story about... And we were taught this at the police academy. In fact, what I'm about to say is a direct analogy that they gave us in law. That is that if you're standing on one side of a river, and there's a person on the other who's being very aggressive, you know, like sort of waving their fist at you, gesticulating and shouting at you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, then technically it's not actually an assault because there's a river. They can't get to you. However, if they're standing on the other side of the river and they've got a gun and they point the gun at you, they've committed an offence because it's known in law that the bullet can easily travel across the river and kill you. Same thing. If someone, that person was on your side of the river, standing close to you, and you feel threatened in any way, they have committed the offence of assault. Now, it might be... he sounds like a bully with no self-control who doesn't give a shit about other people, but also spare a thought. For the wife or for the partner.
We talked about
that. That's just so upsetting. You know, she may well live in fear, which is quite common.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if she had have said anything? He may take her home and beat the fuck out of her, which is very, very upsetting. The guy, if that had have been me and Christine, I would have sized the guy up. That's me. And it could have got nasty. It's really just so upsetting.
He could have been a crim for all I know. He could have been an organized crime. I don't know. He could do this a lot. He could hurt people quite regularly. I don't know. And the fact is, and Tegan was initially quite upset with me, not because I'd done anything wrong, but she said, you know, you shushed quite aggressively, and she said, I'm not defending him at all, but the fact is that you did a thing that gave him an excuse.
Mm. Right? I have been with you when you've shushed.
Right.
And it's pretty intense. It's a ballsy thing to do, Paul. And I guess one hypothetical question to you, now knowing what you do know as to what happened yesterday...
Mm.
Let's replicate the scenario, and would you do it again? Or what would you do again? Or not do?
Well, the only thing I thought was I could have leaned over and said, excuse me, could you please stop talking? You're ruining the film. Or said, you know, done it verbally. But my concern is that this guy is so... There are certain kinds of people who, if you even suggest they're doing anything wrong, if you interfere with what they're doing in any way... they will arc up to some degree.
Oh, look.
The fact is, I'm not going to sit there and take bad behavior like that. If people are talking during a film, I think it's all of our duties to just fucking just behave. Like, don't,
I understand, Paul.
It's
but look, I mean, listening to what you're saying, you know, what you could do to avoid a drama is just leave, you and Tegan leave and get your money back and go and see it again another time. I know that that's capitulating, but you know, sometimes in life it's just...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Look, I'll never forget a friend of mine who'd done some serious time in Long Bay Jail. I mean, he was a hard man, and he was driving, and he experienced some very aggressive driving from another car, and he decided to follow them into a car park on the northern beaches. And he was an ex-boxer. So he's an ex-boxer. He's a hard man, and he's done time in Long Bay Jail, and he's done some very bad things in his life. He's scary. Now, when he got out to sort of run towards the driver of this car that had, you know, demonstrated road rage, two or three other guys got out of the car, and they're all carrying iron bars. Jesus. And they started running towards my friend. And my friend had two options: go in and have the shit beaten out of him, or retreat. And he retreated, because every single person has to, and to quote the words of Dirty Harry, which I love this phrase, every man has to know his limitations. And it's doubly awkward because you're with Tegan, and the fact that he leans over, I mean, viscerally speaking, if I was sitting, because I don't really like sitting next to, I'm a bit of a coward. I always get Christine to sit. She's the buffer. It's like on planes. She's very good. She understands. We don't talk about it. She always sits next to the person. Mm. But to think that some cretin has actually leant across Tegan, and you paint a very, very sort of visceral picture.
I'm not exaggerating, by the way.
No, I know, but the listeners will really understand the fact that, you know, we're talking about this today, and I think it's really, really good to talk about it, because everyone listening to this podcast will have had those experiences. 2 weeks ago, when Christine and I went to see Dune Part 2 in the city in the Gold Cinema, there was a group of guys behind us, and in some of the most beautiful, poignant moments, one particular guy, because he was, I'm not making excuses, but he was intoxicated, and he was just shouting out catchphrases from Star Wars during this film, and it just completely ruins it.
Yeah.
And every single person in the cinema,
yeah,
it's like someone reaches in communally to all your hearts at one moment and just squeezes on your heart, and it's just it's a deflating experience. It's anticlimactic. It ruins that beautiful moment. And the guy that you just want to take the guy, but I feel with the staffing situation in cinemas, when I used to go to the pictures as a young person, no one made any noise. They had staff, they had ushers, and they would come across, and famously, they'd shine their torch in your face.
Yeah.
They ran... They don't even have staff. I mean, they're so understaffed, cinemas.
Yeah, well, they just have... I feel like we reached a point... first of all, it depends on the cinema. And I'm actually concerned that it's a weird confluence of the extreme wealth, which leads to people not giving a shit sometimes of the area, combined with the fact that there's a lot of foot traffic on Chapel Street. So you just get people going, oh, yeah, and just wandering in and seeing shit randomly and not knowing what they're in for and then behaving badly. Combined with, I don't know what it is, because I guarantee you not every cinema has the same level of misbehavior. Dad, 7 films in a row, people have talked or done stuff that is much worse, culminating in a near assault in the one cinema at a French film festival where you assume people are going to be so fucking uptight and hoity-toity that they're not going to talk, because they're going to be the ones sitting there, their fucking monocles falling into their champagne. But
Paul,
no.
Yeah, but dear Paul, I just feel that you need to consider... because Christine and I, we live in the eastern suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah.
And as we've mentioned many, many times before,
some
of the most, some of the heaviest, like hardcore crims.
I know.
Psychopaths, people that work for big banks. I mean,
I'm starting to realize that. What's happened is, because I have been to, on my birthday in January, I went to 2 almost full IMAX sessions back-to-back for 2 different films. Very different films, very different age demos. I'm talking families from the suburbs, like 20-something-year-old uni students, old people, young people, drunk people, sober people, not a fucking peep the entire film. I'm talking quiet, poignant stretches during a film that was quite hard to follow, and no one was going, what are they fucking talking about?
No, I understand, Paul.
No one talked. And I'm hearing it.
Maybe it's something to do with, I mean, have you considered that it may have something to do with subtitles?
Look, first of all, it's part two. This film is part two in a two-part film. And it comes with a recap. And my first thought was, I wonder if anyone here missed the first one and thought this was the first one. If that was the case, then, Dad, first of all, the odds of us sitting next to the two people who were being like that.
Oh, when you say two people, you mean not her.
Well, no, but I'm saying they were sitting together. Well, I would like to say we sat in the exact same seats 1 week ago for a different film, weeknight session, absolutely packed. And I was in the seat next to the two aisle seats this time. And the guy next to me looked like a bikie. I mean, he was huge, festooned with fucking jewelry. I mean, built like a brick shit house, huge handlebar moustache, tattoos up his neck, sunglasses on his head, bullet head, he was huge. And his phone went off, full volume, halfway through the film, and the lights started flashing, and it was making a motorbike sound. And he got shushed and gave like a, I'm sorry, look. And then at the end of the film, he gets up, leans back down to me, gets right up close and goes, I'm so sorry about the phone, mate. That was fucking unacceptable. I had an alarm on to take some medication and it was on silent, but the alarm went off. I'm like, mate, it's totally fine. And he sat back down and we had a conversation about the fact that during the opening night of the French Film Festival 2 years ago, I was in a packed cinema on, like a mezzanine seat. Primo seats, packed in, phone on silent, but I had set an alarm for a meeting about 3 years before, and for some reason Google's calendar had put it on that night, and silent doesn't stop alarms for meetings some reason. So my phone goes off, and I'm telling him this, and we're laughing and talking, and I'm like, when he got shushed, the guy who could have taken a fucking ox out, when that guy got shushed, he gave an apologetic wave. So it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like shushing people is something that always gets you a fucking beating. And also, I'm dying to hear what listeners think of this because, first of all, I'm really upset. I'm really upset for Tegan. I'm furious that somebody got in her space. I'm not the kind of person to hunt people down and fucking exact vengeance because that's what that guy would have done. But
I think for your own sanity, and I'm speaking from experience here, there are triggers in life based on previous shitty experiences. We have two options. It's Tegan's birthday today. Clearly, it's been very cathartic talking about it, but you definitely need to move on because he probably isn't giving it any thought. It could be... I mean, that's the thing about bullies. Does one capitulate to save, just make peace. But the problem with that, it's like certain countries in the world, they don't see capitulating as a good thing. They see it as you are weak. And they feed off that. And they know. And this person, look, we're speaking hypothetically, but it is an extreme thing that the person's done. So there's either an incredible backstory to what led him to react that way. He may have had a terrible domestic with his partner. We don't know. And I'm tending to think that this would not be the first time he's done that. And also he would not know during the cinema, during the movie, because it's dark, what you actually looked like. But then had the lights come on when he leant across?
Yes.
Okay, so this is his opportunity to look at you, size you up, which is what prize fighters do. When you are an opponent, he looks at you. He looks at sweet, demure, Tegan. That, to me, also indicates, on the balance of probabilities, a highly misogynistic male where he actually has absolute no respect for Tegan either. the fact that he leans across, that is really offensive, because you're actually sort of bringing two people into the fray. God knows what his partner was thinking, but if she had have stepped in and done anything, he may have well taken her home and beaten the crap out of her. Because bullies are real. And what goes on behind closed doors? I mean, if this is the sort of thing that someone does in a public place, then, I mean, we've all witnessed terrible things in shopping centres where parents just completely, just, and the thing is that they, it seems from the onlooker that they are blissfully unaware of the thousands of people watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they, even worse than that, and it reminds me of certain world leaders, is that they just don't care. They really couldn't give a rat's ass. And for any person that steps in to their perceived sort of their code of, you know, what's right and wrong, I mean, anyone that would talk through a film is, look, if it had have been me, it would have ruined the experience. You know, I would have had elevated heartbeat, blood pressure, just... Mm. And it ruins the whole experience, and it's really upsetting. But, you know, I hope it doesn't happen again, and I think you need an exit strategy.
Yeah, I mean, Tegan and I, listeners, just as a little postscript, we've agreed not to go to the movies for a while.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because it means that he won. But at the same time, it's best just to avoid that possibility for a while.
You know, another thing too, Paul, is that it's possible, depending on what sort of person he is, that he feels when you shushed him in front of his partner, that it made him weaker. He then, for the rest of that period of time, has then, it's like festering in his mind. He's thinking, this guy's got the better of me. He might be a very strong alpha male. He now feels a bit weaker. He's been knocked down a peg by you doing something in effect not that serious. And then it's grown that thought. And then it's at the right opportunity, he just thinks, and he just blew his stack and wanted to regain some of that machismo that he has with his partner. But we don't know anything about the people. We just, you know, it'd be fascinating to do a... the problem for the two of us talking about this is that we're talking about it from one side.
I just want to pose a hypothetical. Let's say he listened to the podcast. I thought, what if he listens to the podcast? And then I thought, what if he feels bad because he knows who I am? And then I thought, if you're the kind of person who only feels bad when you find out the person you almost beat the shit out of is somebody you actually know and kind of respect, then fuck you. Like, who somebody is should not dictate whether you're willing to assault them or not, right? Like, that's not... I just started to get into this weird loop, and I'm sitting here going, Dad, part of me is going, I hope some of the listeners know him and can fucking blacklist him from things and ruin his life because he'd gotten Keegan's space.
I understand what you're saying, Paul, but look, you know, that's not a good path to go down. It's self-destructive. Mm-hmm. It's not good for you. It's not good for Tegan. It's Tegan's birthday. You know, everyone out there listening, so many people listening, so many occupations, so many countries, so many time zones, so much history with all the different people listening, and there are going to be so many different, you know, feelings. But I think I know that it's fair to say point one is that it's not cool to talk. I mean, if this had been the Sydney Symphony Orchestra or the Melbourne Symphony or, you know, the Australian Ballet or a play, can you imagine? That would not happen.
No.
And, you know, it's people go to these group experiences relying on the common decency and society's protocols and norms that have been laid down since the foundation of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, you know, there is kabuki. There's theatre in Japan where it is considered an insult not to shout out. But that's kabuki. You know, Roman and Greek theatre where people would get involved. But now nowadays...
People know not to talk at the cinemas. They know. They don't fucking care.
It's and a given.
There was a big theory going that people got worse after COVID because they'd spent years in their living rooms just doing whatever they wanted and they came back out and they had forgotten how to have manners. But what's striking me is the... Again, I come back to this. The age disparity of the fact that the people who've been the worst in cinemas are grown adults. Mm. I'm sitting in a row with like 12 people in their teens behind me in a French film. I didn't know they were there. They were so quiet. How is it that young people are behaving better than old people? Dad, I want some sort of justice here, even if it's just a moment, some degree of fucking justice.
Well, I think it's justice to a degree in that, you know, we're talking about it. I think that's important. When I got the message this morning very early that, you know, you were going to discuss something and mm-hmm. park our podcast part three to the side, I thought...
I hope you don't mind, by the way.
No. But what I did do, I got... Christine and Tegan... because we wished Tegan a happy birthday, and as I said, she's working in a God can only imagine what sort of frenetic environment. And Tegan just did allude to the fact that something may have happened, but I said to Christine, I don't want to know about it because I need to be fresh, and I don't want the heads up. So, but you know, this is a true crime podcast, and what happened at the cinema yesterday was totally unacceptable. Imagine if, for example, the person is a police officer, which is entirely possible, or a doctor, or a you know, he could be a firefighter, he could be a male nurse, he could work in hospitality. There are so many things.
What does his career have to do with? I'm not being sarcastic here at all. I mean, serious question. What does that have to do with how and the listeners view?
Okay. Well, then, if he was a police officer, then for me, it's even more terrifying, because then you can say to yourself, he's a police officer, and if he cannot exercise self-control, can you imagine what he's like when he puts the uniform on? Okay, and there are police out there.
I know.
And there are, you know, it's just, I mean, you put a uniform on to the wrong person, to the person that has not been screened. It's unacceptable. And I'm kind of glad that it wasn't, I mean, imagine if it was just or you and me. Imagine if the two of us were sitting there. You and I were just chilling.
First of all, I hope the listeners are reacting exactly the way I am. I really hope they are. I hope at worst they're like, mate, you probably shouldn't have shushed him so loudly. But also, I hope they're sitting... I hope there's nobody sitting there cheering for the guy. Because if I don't think we have that kind of listener, I'd be disappointed if we did. I encourage all kinds of across-the-aisle thought. Some of my favorite people are diametrically opposed to me on almost every moral and ethical level. Some of my favorite people are people who, if they weren't friends of mine, I would not associate with, right? I get it. I get that people with different inclinations, reactions, walks of life, I get that. But the one thing I cannot stand is a bully. I cannot fucking stand a bully. Yep. And I know you can't either. And I really, really hope this guy gets his comeuppance, and I hope his wife's okay, and I'm so mad on Tegan's behalf that she had to be sitting there listening for minutes before it even happened to the things he wanted to do to me. She didn't sleep last night. She gets up at 3:45 a.m. to go to radio to work till 1 on her birthday, and she didn't fucking sleep because she was so worked up freaked out, and listen, I've given the session time, I've described him. If anybody feels like maybe, you know what, let the chips fall where they may. But I really hope this guy gets a life. I hope the ban happens. I hope it gets a lifetime
now, Paul,
ban. I hope he knows why. Yes.
One thing that I might say that's just popped into my mind is, and this is just a hypothetical, but if this situation, and it will, on the balance of probabilities, never ever happen again. However, if it happens to anyone else, and a partner happens to hear what the person wants to do, I'd get out of there straight away.
Yes.
If Christine was sitting next to this person and overheard him saying what he's going to do to me, Christine would have leaned over to me and said, "John, we're going." And on that, I wouldn't have sort of hesitated, because I'd think, "Shit, hang on, Christine really, really has a grasp of this situation," and I would have. And this is speaking with hindsight. And it's no reflection on what you and Tegan did or didn't do, but I think under the circumstances, it probably would have been a good idea to exit stage right. Yeah. Which is sad in a way, because it ruins the whole... You could have even exited and stood down near the screen and caught the last few minutes and got out of there. So that's a final thought for me.
Yeah. Well, Jesus... I want to hear what listeners think. Please get in touch on the Facebook page, on the discussion group, and let me know what you think. I'm very curious as to what you all think. I'm really still quite worked up, but I do feel better having talked to you, Dad. So I'm sorry to have derailed the BTK killer.
He's still there. He's waiting. He's still alive.
Yeah, I know. It's a little upsetting. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this. That's all the time we have for this episode of Loose Units. I almost forgot the name of the podcast. I'm so worked up. But thank you so much for listening. We'll be back at the end of the week, hopefully with no disturbing updates. Hopefully it's just a regular loose ends. But in the meantime, stay safe. Happy birthday, Tegan. And we will see you soon for more Loose Units. Oh, my God. Bye, everyone.
Cheerio.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.